Steve Jobs was called the Thomas Edison of our generation, a great innovator, a genius. Devices that came from his genius include the iMac computer, Apple devices such as iPad, iPod, iPhone, and more would have followed, except that last Thursday, Steve Jobs died of pancreatic cancer. He did everything that his vast wealth could afford, liver transplant and the rest, but to no avail. He died at 56. We learn here that even a genius, even an innovator, dies. And he knew he was dying. And he had the grace to resign and yield the helm of his company to his successor just recently. And when he died, the world took a vow. Cable media was reporting it with special features. Now, when you and I come to our death, it will not be likely as glorious as that of Steve Jobs. I doubt if it will be reported on even the local channel. In the Christian hope, the glory is not in death itself. It is not the event. As we have seen, death in and of itself is evil. But to the Christian, what is glorious when death comes is what comes after. And we are in a series of expositions of that major portion of the Bible known as the Resurrection Chapter. Sa kabanatang 15 ng unang Korinto ay sinasagot ni Pablo yung kumakalat na mga pag-aanilangan sa pagkabuhay na muli na maaring pumasok sa isipan ng mga miyembro doon sa Korinto sa dahilang sila ay nakiayon sa mga pilosopiyang umiiral doon sa lipunan ng Grego. They were vulnerable to the philosophy that was then prevalent, and that philosophy held that the body in and of itself was evil. And therefore, when death comes, it's good riddance to the body, so there is no place for a continuing body after death. And Apostle Paul would have none of that. He answered this issue in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and as we have seen, to him, the issue is a gospel issue. This is not just one of those doctrines that we can just remain indifferent about. Rather, to the Apostle Paul, what is at stake here is the gospel, because what is at stake here is the reality and genuineness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. And if Jesus really was raised from the dead, if it is an authentic event, what is connected to that vitally and inseparably is the resurrection of the saints. Because Christ rose from the dead, all those who belong to Christ will also be raised from the dead gloriously. At yan ang pinaka-diin-diinan ni Apostol Pablo, na kung ang Panginoong Hesukristo ay nabuhay mula sa mga patay, lahat ng kabilang sa Kanya ay bubuhayin din mula sa mga patay. So we have here, in other words, the gospel of the death and resurrection of Christ. It is a matter of first importance. And what Apostle Paul does in developing this chapter is to show evidences that Jesus Christ really rose from the dead. This is historical. This is not simply conceptual and figurative idea. This is something that happened literally. Talagang nangyari na si Jesus ay nabuhay mula sa mga patay. At ang ginawa ni Apostol Pablo, naghanay siya ng iba't ibang mga saksi. He lined up several witnesses, including at one time, more than 500 people saw Jesus alive after he was crucified. He rose from the dead. This is a fact that is beyond reasonable doubt. And this is what Apostle Paul is trying to emphasize. And why is he emphasizing this so much? Because for him, the Christian hope stands or falls on the truth of the resurrection of Christ. We do not believe that there are consolation prizes if some of the vital truths of Christianity happen to be false. If this is not true, Paul said, we are of all men most miserable. Kung hindi totoo ang kamatayan at pagkabuhay na muli ni Jesus, ang pinakakawawa sa buong mundo ay ang mga mananampalataya. But because this is true, then we say at the same time, this is an exclusive truth. Outside this truth, there is no salvation. Outside the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the effect of this is not just on the level of doctrine, but rather on the practical day-to-day life. And we see this in what Paul said and what may be considered a slogan of the Christian's life, if he believes in the resurrection, he can say with Paul, "I die daily." Those are the words of the apostle. It means that there is to the Christian a readiness to face death, however it comes, whenever it comes. There is a daily readiness to face death, and there are so many practical matters that are connected to that readiness to die. But then we asked last week, why in the first place did people in the church in Corinth entertain this false doctrine that denied the resurrection? And the answer of the Apostle Paul, which we meditated upon last Sunday, is bad company. And Christians need to be mindful of the influence of the company they keep. But still, in answer to that question, there is a further explanation for the vulnerability to error of those members in Corinth, and by extension, when Christians become vulnerable to error, oftentimes this is what's behind such vulnerability. I invite you to turn your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read from verse 35 to verse 41. First Corinthians 15, verses 35 to 41. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not a body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as He has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. Now you may wonder, what on earth can be a message out of that comparison? I'll tell you something that is very relevant to us. Paul voices here the objection of those who deny the resurrection in the form of a question. And yet his immediate response is still very sharp in tone. He calls this objection coming from the representative of this group who denied the resurrection, "You foolish person." So obviously Apostle Paul wasn't accepting this question as an honest query looking for an answer. Ang tawag niya doon sa nagtatanong ng ganitong katanungan ay mangmang. Hindi niya tinatanggap ito na tapat na katanungan, naghahanap talaga ng sagot, kundi para itong isang objection para hamakin ang paniniwala sa pagkabuhay na muli. And Apostle Paul calls this foolish. Now the Greek language is quite rich in the available words for foolish. In fact, I consulted a lexicon, the dictionary for the original languages, and as many as 20 Greek words were available for Paul to point out folly, each with its own nuances. Now, the particular word Apostle Paul used has the nuance of not using one's mind. It is like when you tell a person, "You are not thinking. Use your mind." At yan ang sinasabi rito ni Apostol Pablo. Hindi kayo nag-iisip. Itong nagtatanong ng ganito, hindi ginagamit ang kanyang isip. At yun ang ibig niyang sabihin ng kanyang kamangmangan, hindi niya ginamit ang isip. So you must use your mind. I have a simple message out of this reaction of the Apostle Paul. The message is this: Christian teachings require a thinking mind that reflects on God's revelation. Christian teachings require a thinking mind that reflects on God's revelation. Ang mga katuruang Kristiyano ay nangangailangan ng pag-iisip na nagbubulay sa kapahayagan ng Diyos. ang katuruang Kristiyano hindi lang basta dinadamdam, ang katuruang Kristiyano ay hindi lamang pang-inspirasyon, ang katuruang Kristiyano ay pinag-iisipan. At yan ang makikita nating inaasahan dito ni Pablo. And when he met this objection of those who denied the resurrection, his reaction is to consider this objection foolish, not using the mind, not thinking. And Christian teachings require that we think, that we reflect on the revelation of God. Now, in the context, the specific issue is the resurrection. But this is applicable to all other errors, to all other doctrines. This reaction of Paul demonstrates what he thought was behind the error in the Corinthians. They were not thinking as they should. And he invites them to a thinking reflection on the truth. And we may say the same thing today. Christian teachings continue to require us to think and to reflect on the revelation of God. Two observations here. First of all, some objections are unthinking. May mga pagtutol na hindi pinag-iisipan. Some objections are unthinking. Secondly, God's creation is instructive. Ang nilalang ng Diyos ay nagtuturo. So those two things. First of all, some objections are unthinking. So Paul meets this question. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Now, if this were an honest and sincere query, I have no doubt that Paul would have answered it accordingly. But it wasn't. Remember, Apostle Paul was the one who founded the church in Corinth. He knew the people there. And probably he expected this question to come from some smart aleck member, and he knew the motivation behind it. And so he dealt with it quite sharply. Foolish. Paul takes this objection as something that is meant to treat the Christian teaching of the resurrection with contempt. But what is done on the issue of the resurrection, we see it being done still on many other Christian teachings. And we learn here that failure of thinking makes one vulnerable to errors that doubt and deny Christian beliefs. Kapag hindi tayo nag-iisip, madali tayong madala ng mga kamaliang nag-aalinlangan o nagkakaila ng mga katuruang Kristiyano. Kapag hindi natin ginagamit ang ating isip. So Paul treats this question, how are the dead raised? As if this was an impossible thing. When Christ has risen from the dead, that shows that it wasn't impossible for the dead to rise from the dead if God is so pleased. Then the question, with what kind of body do they come? Again, as though this was so unreasonable. But again, when Christ rose from the dead, He had a body, a physical body. He wasn't just soul or spirit. He was literally body and soul as human being when He rose from the dead. And that shows again that the resurrection and the kind of body one is raised with is not an unreasonable thing. Jesus has proven it. Jesus has already done it. But you see, you will encounter these kinds of objections to Christian teachings in different ways. They are clothed differently. Sometimes you encounter them in debate, sometimes with scorn, contempt, and even threatening. And many of them, I'm not saying all, but many of them are not the product of serious thinking. Just plain dislike of Christian teachings. Marami sa mga pagtututol na yan ay hindi dahilan sa talagang pinag-isipan at pinag-aralan, kundi ayaw lang talaga nila ng katuruang Kristiyano. At iisip na lang sila ng mga paraan para ipakita at hamakin ang katuruang Kristiyano na hindi naman pinag-isipan. What they will do, what they will not do on other issues, such as science, math, news, they do again and again on Christian teachings and claims. And yet, on a serious scrutiny of these objections, many of them are not thought out well. They may sound reasonable, and they may try to show Christian teachings as unreasonable, but in reality, these objections, many of these objections are the unreasonable objections. They are unthinking. They are without logic. Self-contradiction is the mark of many objections to Christian truths. They are illogical. They are irrational. For example, I often have to discuss with people who call themselves agnostic. And I know that the agnostic at one point of the discussion will say something like this: you cannot be sure about any belief. And I would simply ask him, are you sure? Is it a self-contradiction? Kasasabi lang niya, hindi ka makatitiyak sa anumang paniniwala. Pero siya tiyak na tiyak. Tiyak na tiyak siya sa kanyang proposition when he has just contradicted himself. I've often encountered atheists whose proposition, of course, is the denial of the existence of God, but the way they argue is they are so angry with God. Eh kung may Diyos, bakit ang daming paghihirap? Kung may Diyos, bakit pinababayaan niya yung mga nagdurusa at naapi? O hindi sila naniniwala sa Diyos, pero galit na galit sa Diyos. These self-contradictions are abundant. Do not fear them, but what it requires of us is to think. There's the evolutionist who denies intelligent design, yet he uses natural laws that require pattern and design. Another self-contradiction. The danger here, brethren, is when you approach these objections to Christianity without a prepared mind, without the reasons for your faith. When you simply accept propositions blindly without thinking them out, it opens you dangerously to be vulnerable to such objections. What one kind of brain damage is called hematoma. A hematoma occurs when there is a rupture of the blood vessel on the brain, and what it does is it creates blood clot. And blood clot, unless it is removed, can be fatal. Now you see, it's something like that when you allow these objections to Christianity to lodge in your mind without thinking. They become clots that, unless removed, sometimes surgically, they will be fatal. And I've seen many Christians, many professing Christians, I've met them who once were robust in their belief in Christian teachings, and then they exposed their minds to media, to print, and to the internet, questioning the Christian teachings and claims without a prepared mind, and they fell victims to those objections. My plea with you is exercise your Christian faith always with disciplined thinking from biblical thoughts. Pag-isipan ninyo ang inyong pananampalataya. Disiplinahin ninyo ang inyong isip na aktibong kumikilos at ginagamit ang mga kaisipan ng salita ng Diyos. That's the Christian faith. The faith of many religions are a matter of feeling and emotion. They are blind to the truth, but they feel good. And it doesn't matter what the proposition is as long as the experience makes them feel good. And it is sad that the average versions of the Christian faith today are of the unthinking kind, emotional. And one symptom of the lack of thinking in many Christian circles today is the very little attention to preaching and teaching. And in its place are activities meant to excite, meant for group thrill. And if there is any preaching at all, it is of the type that does not grip the mind with the truth and with the text. Ang kailangan natin, mga kapatid, ay pangangaral na hinahamon kang mag-isip. Hinahamon kang pag-isipan ang katotohanan, ang teksto ng salita ng Diyos. Your defensive shield against error is not a good feeling, but well thought out teaching that is understood. It is not an inspiring song that will prepare you to face the challenge of defiant error, not because you are feeling inspired. It is the truth understood. And an edifying ministry is that which exercises your thought on the truth. Ang ministeryong magpapatibay ay ang humahamon na pag-isipan mo ang katotohanan ng salita ng Diyos. Why, are we against emotion as such? No. I would to God we could feel deeply about the truths. But let it be the feeling that comes from the grip of the truth that is understood in the mind, not simply inspiring. Understand, for example, the doctrine of providence, the doctrine of divine sovereignty, and you will be prepared to face the burden of affliction when it comes. And closer to our text, understand the doctrine of the resurrection, and you can have that which bears the mourning brought about by death. Use the scripture with a thinking mind. Practice meditation. Come to worship with a thinking mind. Don't use the worship assembly to catch up on sleep. But think. And I described it as disciplined thinking. Something that you must resolve to do, not because it's forced on you externally, just like students who rush reviewing for an exam tomorrow. Disciplined thinking. Think biblically. It must be governed by biblical thoughts. One of the most influential Christian works, as some of you know, is Jonathan Edwards' The Religious Affections. There he challenged a depth of affection for the things of God. But the way to achieve that depth of affection is not inspirational song merely, but grappling with text and truth. And that's what I challenge you to do. Many of these objections are unthinking, but we can only be prepared for them with a thinking mind. The second observation is that God's creation is instructive. From verse 37 to verse 41, Paul uses known facts in creation. Seed and plants, animals, even heavenly bodies. His point is that we see in creation something that duplicates the resurrection of the body. The plant that germinates is so different from its seed, yet it is that seed that developed. So with the resurrection body, it is not another body, it is the self-same body except glorified. And he does so using this analogy of seed and plant, of animal bodies, of heavenly bodies. But ultimately, the point is that there is an analogy between God's work in creation and His work and in redemption. May pagkakatalintulad ang gawa ng Diyos sa kanyang nilikha at sa kanyang gawa sa pagliligtas. Kung tingnan mo ang kanyang nilikha, may makikita ka doon ng mga leksyon para sa usaping pangkaligtasan, sa mga usaping pangdoktrina. The best illustration of redemption is in creation. In the original work of God. In theology, we call creation general revelation. Through creation, God speaks. He speaks presently to all humanity. The Bible tells us in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare, they speak the glory of God. Romans 1:20, creation reveals the Godhead of God. So ultimately, there is something in which God is saying through creation. And ultimately, creation itself is an object of redemption. Listen to Paul in Romans 8:20 and following. Creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. You see the analogy that exists between creation and salvation, the ultimate redemption of creation and the redemption of the Christian's body. Resurrection. May pagkakatugma. May pagkakahalintulad. There will be redemption on creation. And while we take seriously present threats on the environment, such as climate change, etc., yet ultimately my faith leads me to believe that this world, this creation, will remain until Christ comes again. And now Paul picks up from God's work of creation to explain what will happen in redemption and in resurrection. The more we understand creation, the more we understand nature, we can see an analogy. But it requires thinking. The science community is all excited today at the discovery of particles that appear faster than light, known as neutrino. And they say that if this is proven true, it will put upon its head Einsteinian physics. I'm not a scientist, but actually, long ago, I had believed that something is faster than light. Thought. And I'm not speaking as a scientist. I'm simply speaking of the fact that where light may travel thousands of miles in a second, thought is there. Use your thought. That is how we excel even over animals. They say man is the highest form of animal. No. As far as animal abilities are concerned, we are lower form. Dogs are superior in smelling. Rabbits are superior in hearing. But where do men and women find their superiority? Thought. Reason. Exercise your human dignity of thinking about creation. Now the challenge here is exercise your earthly work and vocation with Christian thinking from biblical revelation. Gamitin mo ang iyong panawagan pangmundo na pinag-iisipan mo bilang Kristiyano, ginagamit ang salita ng Diyos. I'm amazed at the way Paul could easily move from issues of salvation and resurrection to issues of creation and providence. He easily moves back and forth. And it is wrong when we treat the Christian truth as something we encounter in church and then live in the church. It is wrong when we go to our work, to our earthly life, with an entirely new set of thinking that has no Christian belief that we left in church. You know, the worst form of brain damage is Alzheimer's disease. It's the total loss of memory suffered by some old people. The most prominent victim of this was the former U.S. President Ronald Reagan. Can you imagine one of the most powerful men on earth during his presidential years did not even know he was once president. Could not recognize people. That's Alzheimer's disease. Well, some Christians exercise Alzheimer's disease from Monday through Saturday, forgetting their Sunday convictions. And that should not be. We bring our truth with us. I do not mean that you impose your Christian belief on unbelievers in your workplace. But if you will be protected from errors that are rife in the world, you must carry your beliefs to the world. Exercise your faith where you work. In other words, bring redemption with you to creation. Dalhin mo ang iyong katubusan sa nilikha. Kahit na yung nanay na nag-aalaga sa kanyang mga anak at nag-aasikaso ng mga gawaing bahay, ito'y mayamang pinagkukunan ng mga kaisipang makakaabot sa katotohanan ng Diyos. We just sang, there's not a place where we can flee, but God is present there, as we are told of Isaac Watts. But did you know that this hymn was written for children? It originally appeared in 1715 in the first ever English hymn book for children with the title Divine Songs for Children. Children are expected to know of God as Creator in such majestic language. At ikaw na nanay ay matuturuan mo yung mga anak sa bagay niyan. Ikaw mismo matuturuan. So let us bring redemption with us to creation where we work. In the heap of papers and documents in your office, when you have to work with people and sometimes cranky bosses, when you have to deal with computers and devices, don't forget that you bring with you redemption to creation with a thinking mind. It's been played up in the media since Steve Jobs died, and I'm referring to that speech he delivered during the graduation of the Stanford University in 2005. And it is worth quoting, really. He probably knew then that he was dying, and he said these words, "Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid a trap of thinking you have something to lose." What words? And I happen to believe that the Christian has all the more reason to say this with a biblical bent because of his belief in the resurrection. And he may affirm his belief in the resurrection with what God is doing in creation. So the Christian faith is a thinking faith. The Christian faith is a thinking faith about creation. He brings with him his belief in the God of redemption when he works with creation. And so as we deal with what we are doing on earth, be it in the household, be it in the office, be it in the field, may we be able to say, as we deal with these evidences of the work of God, "How great thou art." Let us sing our last hymn with such a thrust as we deal with God's creation. May we be able to say, "Indeed, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art." Let's close in prayer. Indeed, it is the testimony of our hearts and the expression of our lips to give glory to you, our God, for how great thou art. And grant that as we are reminded of our Christian faith as one that requires serious thinking, may we not fail in this matter. May we think through our faith and make sure that our faith is held not blindly, but biblically and rationally. And grant that we may be prepared when we are confronted with errors. Many of their objections are of the unthinking kind, but it requires of us to think. It requires of us to supply our beliefs with due reasons. And may we not fail to do so. Indeed, may our faith be a thinking faith, not merely emotional, not merely one that seeks inspired feeling, but let it be that faith which is rooted in the understanding of your word, of the scriptures. And may this challenge those who are continuing in a kind of religion that is all but emotion, all but inspiration and experience, without solid basis, without any solid basis upon the truth of the scripture. And this also reminds us that there is in creation God's general revelation
that by the creation He speaks still to all humanity. The heavens declare the glory of God. And wherever we look around, there is your signature of power, of providence. And so thus, help us to bring our minds to our work in creation, to our earthly work, even those who may be in their own households, yung mga nasa bahay ay maaari nilang gamitin ang iyong salita at katotohanan upang magkaloob ng mga kaisipang angkop para sa kanilang paniniwala at sa pagkaunawa ng katotohanan. Those who go to office and there have to deal with the day-to-day stress of heaps of papers and documents, people they work with, even devices and computers. Even in this, we may see your hand. But we are reminded to bring redemption to creation. Bring our Christian beliefs and not leave them in church when we go to our vocation in the world. And so challenge us and make us not vulnerable to the errors that are rife in the world, but supply us with understanding and with reflection upon your creation, and there see enough illustration and affirmation of our Christian truth based upon your word. So be with us in this challenge and help us, Lord, to persevere in the truth of the Christian teachings. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.